DC sports fans start their day with 106.7 The Fan's Sports Junkies.
Let Jaden cook.
With Commanders Talk.
They were 60 minutes away from the Super Bowl last year, and they're better this year.
And a lot of fun.
You're acting like I haven't been embarrassed in my life before. Right.
Every morning from 6 to 10.
I thought I handled myself with incredible maturity.
If you missed it live, listen to 106.7 The Fan's Sports Junkies on Apple Podcasts, Spotify.
They're listening to everything you do.
Or wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning, everybody. Happy Thursday. Big day in the world of sports and otherwise here in Memphis for a couple of reasons. One, you got the Memphis women playing UT women in soccer tonight at home. That is the number 14 and undefeated Memphis women playing the number 2 ranked and undefeated UT women. That's at 7 p.m. That'll be fun, right, Jeffrey?
Absolutely.
Then we got Memphis to the Mountain, which is the film that we had Tom Shadyac and Chris Dean in here from Rox, and that is being that's the film about a bunch of climbers from South Memphis climbing Mount Kenya. It's going to be on Hulu tomorrow night, but you get a sneak preview tonight at Crosstown if you want, and everyone's invited to that. Go to the Rox website or the Crosstown website to get your tickets free, but you got to get a ticket, and so that is happening as well. And of course, we've got the return of the NFL, Jeffrey. We got the return of the NFL as the Cowboys play the Eagles. We have officially made it. We'd already made it because we were deep into college football.
Yeah. And we had a great week one.
With a spectacular week one. But tonight we've got Cowboys versus Eagles. That's on NBC. Peacock, both, right? Is that NBC?
I believe so.
Eagles 8.5-point favorites in that one. So big day, big night of sports. And we have a big show today as well because we got Chris Harrington straight up at 10 o'clock. Then we got Right and Right Trivia, which we do every Thursday with Kevin Cerrito. What's the prize, Jeffrey?
Jeff, we got a family pack of tickets to the Mid-South Fair. So I believe that will be 4 tickets to the Mid-South Fair.
Oh, that's fun. Go eat a funnel cake and do whatever you do at the
Jeff
fair.
Loves a fair.
I love a fair. We'll do that in the second hour. Where you either have to be righter than right, or you have to play honorably. I confess, I'm a little weary, Jeffrey. Yesterday I was MC on the Sixth Circuit Judicial Conference is in town, and I was the MC on a panel with William King, who's basically the general counsel of the Southeast Conference. And Jimmy Sexton and Ed Scott. And I'll be honest, it was a bunch of judges and lawyers and stuff like that. So you got to kind of bone up on stuff. Although the truth of the matter is those three people are so unbelievably distinguished that I really just had to stay out of the way. I was up reasonably late the night before boning up, and then tonight to this morning I woke up at 4:15, couldn't get back to sleep, so I just got up and I watched the last two episodes of Hard Knocks. And my takeaway, well, first of all, unbelievably boring.
Like, did not show much.
There was nothing.
Yeah.
I saw someone contrasting it to the series on the Cowboys, right, which evidently is riveting. Where's that? That's on
Prime, I would guess.
Yeah,
I didn't know.
The thing about the old Cowboys. That's the
Netflix. Yeah. Oh, yeah, sorry, Netflix, sorry. I thought you meant there was like a training camp.
No,
sorry. Yeah, no, that is actually very good.
Yeah, and it is. It has been pointed out. Someone pointed out that, of course, Jerry, the goal is to be interesting and to. I mean, this is the Steve White thesis from long ago, which is now commonly accepted. Jerry wants a soap opera, right?
Yep. And so get him talking.
So anything about the Cowboys will happily delve into, and mostly this was the past anyway, but will happily delve into all kinds of soap opera stuff because that's the point, right?
And it also helps that series is based on Jeff Perlman's book, that a lot of this stuff's out there. Yeah.
Whereas the Bills, the whole point is to say nothing.
Correct.
Like they're not interested in being a soap opera. They're interested in the opposite. They're interested in saying as little as possible because they want to win a Super Bowl. My takeaway was they will not win the Super Bowl. And partly it is, I mean, Josh Allen's unbelievably great. Sean McDermott, is there any spark of genius there at all? He just seems like a football coach. Good dude, solid, you know, all of that, consistent. He's a football coach. And then the truth of the matter is Brandon Bean, while he has done a fine job of building the Bills into a consistent winner, there is no – remember when, like, the Cowboys had the triplets?
Yeah.
And the 49ers, like, all these great players have Hall of Famers around them, right? Even Patrick Mahomes, you say what you want. It's not all of them, but they got Travis Kelce. He's there all the time. They got Chris Jones. He's there all the time. There are Hall of Famers. You know how many?
I think the only thing I would say, though, the only guy that wasn't true for Brady.
There were Hall of Famers on defense, weren't there?
But I'm talking about, like, on his side of the ball.
No, on his
really
side
weren't.
Of the ball, there weren't. But I'm saying on the Bills generally, since Josh Allen got there, they have had only four first-team All-Pros since the entire, in addition to Josh, since he got there. And they were Matt Milano,
yep.
Tre'Davious White, Jordan Poyer, and Stephon Diggs, each for one season.
Right.
And that's it. For
those guys are either gone or they're, I guess other than Milano, they're either gone or they came back.
And they weren't, let's be honest. Those aren't, you know, Jordan Poyer is not a level one superstar. You know, he's just.
I mean,
not.
He's only back because he got cut.
I mean, let's be honest. Josh Allen won the MVP last year because his stats weren't as good as Lamar's, but everyone acknowledged he didn't have as much around him. You look at the Ravens, they had four other offensive players on the Pro Bowl roster, voted in without, not substitute, not whatever, but just voted into Pro Bowls. And those were Derrick Henry, Zay Flowers, there are two others on offense. And the Bills had none.
Andrews, maybe.
I mean, the Bills had none.
That's
Bills
all true.
Did have some subs. The Bills did want some injury subs.
But that's all true. They still beat him in the playoffs.
So they still beat him in the playoffs. I just don't think. Anyway, this isn't a Bills show. I sometimes lament that this isn't a Bills show. We got.
I mean, I think one of the most interesting questions of this year is, did the Eagles do something to the Chiefs that kind of knocks them down a peg?
I think the Chiefs are back because I got a tackle. I really think a lot of the Chiefs' problems, including in the Super Bowl last year, offensively, they couldn't block.
Well, and then Mahomes, on top of that, Mahomes played like one of the worst games we've ever seen.
But can be related to couldn't block.
Yes, absolutely.
Right. So, and the Bills draft late in the first round every year, but you know what? Doesn't seem to stop the Eagles from finding all pros, or the Chiefs from finding all pros, or the Ravens from finding all pros. So,
I did see the reports today that the Eagles were like one of the six teams that made like as strong an offer as you could for Parsons. I did think, I was like, I think if that would happen, I would have boycotted the season.
We'll talk more about the Cowboys and Eagles as the show goes on. I want to talk about Ed Scott and his appearance before the board yesterday. He gave a sort of annual report kind of thing to the report on how athletics is doing. And I want to talk about that here in a minute. But since we do have NFL season cranking up, The Athletic had a story on what it costs to watch every NFL game. Okay.
Yep.
And actually it was less than I thought.
I mean, it's over $1,000.
That's not what they had. Okay. They had cable, satellite, multi-channel streaming, something. You need something that gets you the local in-market games,
yep.
National games for CBS and Fox, plus all but one Sunday night on NBC, all the Monday nights on ESPN, international games on NFL Network, all the playoff games and the Super Bowl on NBC. Okay, there, the quote was, you might be paying less than 80 or you might be paying more than 100. So they picked a reasonable midpoint of $90 a month. Times 6 months. That's $540. Is that seems low to you?
All right. I'm trying to. Herd sent me up.
Then Amazon Prime is, you need that for Thursday night games. That's $15 a month times 5 months. That's $75.
Yep.
So you got $540 for the cable. You got $75 for Amazon Prime. You need Netflix for Christmas, right?
Yep.
So that's $8 for December.
Oh, see, I'm showing $22.99 was the number I saw.
Okay, I don't. But this is Athletic story today.
I trust the Athletics more.
Peacock for one exclusive Sunday night game in December. That's $8. And of course, very few people buy for the month and then dip out, right? But this is just saying you just need it. You just need it for December. They're going to get you Red Zone. That's $11 a month for 5 months. Because you need Red Zone.
Well, and also we now have Red Zone with commercials. Thanks be to the commissioner.
We do. That's $55.
Fans first.
And so that gets you to $631. That's actually less than I thought.
Did it include Sunday ticket?
No. It did not include
Sunday
ticket.
Okay, so that's the discrepancy in the numbers that I saw. Because to watch every NFL game.
Yes.
People included Sunday ticket.
If you need every
single. And that's like
$500.
Yeah,
there you go. There you get to $1,100. That's if you want to watch every. If you want to watch the games that are on the big networks.
Correct.
It's $631.
Yes.
If you want to watch every game every weekend, it then gets over to be over $1,000.
So I will be paying those.
Let me ask you that. Is that. I know we complain. I actually. Hot take here. I don't think that's unreasonable. I
don't think we need this many streamers. I don't think we need this many.
What's unreasonable is that you have to go to as many places. But the dollar amount, if you could just have one channel that you paid $631 and you got them all, that would not be as easy. What's irritating is I need this.
Yep.
I need to sign up. And in order to get to 631, you have to sign up at the beginning of the month and quit at the end of the month.
Correct.
Sign up at the for four or five of these. Like for all of them, in fact. None of them, all these prices were based on just
the basic plan.
Yeah, this one I'm going to have 4 months. This one I'm going to have 3 months. This one I'm going to have. And that's really not how realistically most people do things. They're not that attuned to, I'm going to join it, I'm going to quit. I'm going to join it, I'm going to quit. And so it's really a lot more than that. What's the irritating part? Again, I don't think having to pay. I mean, if you get a Starbucks coffee every you know, whatever. Like, the NFL is cheaper than going to Starbucks every day. That's for sure.
Yeah, I think, though.
And for $1,100, you can watch every single game in the universe. What is irritating is how many things you have to sign up for. Not, in fact, and I'm sensitive to this, because $631 is real money, but it's not the actual price.
To me, though, it's the number of different things you have to have.
I agree.
I also think this is going to be a problem for the NBA. Because in the NFL, we have all these options, but it is still streamlined enough to where, okay, tonight's an exception. Tonight's NBC, but almost every other Thursday is you need Prime.
Right.
Okay, cool. Tomorrow night, you just have to have YouTube. The commissioner, a generous, generous man that he is, he's given to you that one for free. You get to watch the Chiefs for free. You're welcome. Then you have, okay, your Sunday games, it's either, you know, everyone knows where it is, and it's NBC at night, and then ESPN for Monday night. The NBA, I think everybody's just going to
Here's the other problem, is that most people who are sports fans of all of this.
Right.
They're not just NFL fans, and they're not just college football fans, and they're not just NBA fans. And so if you think of everything we just said for the NFL, how many different... We had you.
It's the most. So we've got Prime, Peacock.
Well, you had basic cable, Prime, Netflix, Peacock,
Netflix,
and then I got you Red Zone and six things.
Yeah.
Okay. So and then Sunday Ticket. So that's six. But you're going to have a whole different range of things that you need for the NBA. And so that's what.
Well, they're covered.
Yeah.
I don't think the NBA has anything new. So the NBA's got Peacock. Prime.
If you got all of these, you also have NBA. You might need Bally's.
Correct. To watch local, you'd have to add Bally's.
But it's funny, in terms of the, I'm just focusing on the price itself.
Yeah.
$630 is a night at the Grizzlies for your family.
Which is a bigger issue, but yes.
Yes. Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
You got
a whole season NFL. Another reason people stay home, right?
Yeah.
You got a whole season NFL football every game for either $631 or $1,000, depending on how we're defining.
Let me tell you where your boy will be parked up. Noon on Sunday.
Right. So there you go. Okay. Ed Scott, it wasn't really formally called a state of the athletic department. You want the good news or the bad news? But he talked about the state of the athletic
department. I always want bad news.
Did you talk about this on your show yesterday?
No, we did not.
I'm not going to start with the bad news.
Okay.
I respect your choice and I respect your decision to want the bad news first. I'll give you the good news first. The good news is that everything seems to be going well with the revenue sharing. They have 200 contracts that they've signed with athletes. This is one of the things. Listen, I said earlier I was on this panel yesterday. I'm seeing a panel yesterday with Jimmy Sexton and Ed Scott and William King, who's the general counsel of the Southeastern Conference. And most of it, I'm not quoting them. It's off the record. What they said was, well, whatever. But one of the points that Jimmy made, this is not at all confidential, was that as an agent, when you negotiate a contract with coaches, you're like, you check in 5 months later and you're like, God, have we finalized that contract yet? Why haven't we finalized that contract? Right. And it's because either the university takes forever or they take forever, right, or things go back and forth. You know, we see this all the time. We have a contract with a Memphis football coach will be, has that even been signed yet?
Half the time they're coaching on a memorandum, right, of understanding.
Whatever. Yeah, whatever. Just the work that has to go in to having 200 revenue sharing contracts. That's what they are essentially with your athletes is kind of astounding, right?
You literally better be very proficient at Excel.
You got to get on those and they have to be done and whatever. Like I said, other contracts can languish for forever. So that's great. They've got 200 contracts with various athletes. They have 43 NIL deals on top of those revenue sharing contracts. They're going to limit them to 12 months, not multi-year, which gives them more flexibility, is what Ed Scott said. The payments are monthly. This all seems very rational, doesn't it? In fact, another of the points that was made yesterday, again, I'm not going to say anything that was particularly secretive or privileged, was that if you were worried about the portal and you were worried about players jumping and whatever else, it actually does give universities a lot more control, because when the collectives were doing the contracts, they might give them the money up front. They might not enforce them. They might, like, it was all kind of, it could be fast and loose. I'm not saying it was in the case of the Memphis collectives, whatever. But here, you're getting your money every month. There's a, you know, you're going to get more money when you play in the boat. Like, there is a structure to this that will help keep players in place. Now, mind you, the deals are only for 1 year, so they're not going to keep you in place for multiple years, but it is a more rational system when the university can control it. So that was all interesting news. I thought the other thing that was interesting and positive was that Scott said that not only is the football stadium on schedule and on budget, but they've liberated enough money, they've saved enough money, that they're going to have a new sound system and a new light system. And people do still complain about the sound system at Simmons Bank Liberty Stadium. That is something you hear complaints about all the time. And so instead of having the sound basically come out of the scoreboard, they're going to have
right on top of it. Yeah.
They're going to have a surround sound system, and they're going to have lights that enable them to have a light show when they score a touchdown and all that stuff. So that's great, right? Great news.
It's not great for photographers at night games, but yes.
Okay. But otherwise, good news. The part that was the bad news to me, and maybe it's not bad news, maybe this is just reality. Season tickets. For football, season tickets, 10,023. That is down from 10,151 last year. And for basketball, 4,229. That's 412 fewer than last year. But to be clear, basketball still has ways to go. So basketball probably will end up selling more season tickets this year than last year, maybe. But they're within shouting distance of last year. And so those numbers themselves were a little deflating to me. 10,000 season tickets for football, 4,200 season tickets for basketball. But then what made it more deflating, and again, lots of reasons for this. After Mike, and I don't have the numbers for every year, but heading into 2017, okay, this is after Mike Norvell's first year. He went 8-5 his first year, okay? Guess how many season tickets there were for Memphis football?
After year one.
After year one. So he hadn't really lit it up. This is not Cotton Bowl, whatever else yet. This is after year one, 2017. How many season tickets? Again, right now, Memphis football, 10,023.
Show me 21,000.
22,500.
Yeah.
Season tickets have been more than cut in half. 2016 were 17,000. 2015 were 14,000. What happened was, during that decade, it was built up. From 2014, it was worse than it is now. It was 9,000. Okay? We just ignored Larry Porter and all of that stuff and everything else. And the fan base had beaten up and had been down to 9,000. It got built up to in the 20,000s. And we are now to 10,000. More than cut in half. Practically back to where you were before. Memphis basketball, 4,229. Okay? Tubby's last season. Okay? No one cared. Literally, there would be games and on a Tuesday night, and we wouldn't even mention them on the radio, right? People had totally checked out, right?
Yes.
Tubby's last season. Again, right now, 4,229 season tickets. How many for Tubby's last season?
The fact that you're asking like this, I'll say five.
No, but 4,115. Basically the same. They have 100.
Yeah.
We are to the point now where season tickets are where they were, basically, for Tubby's last season. Penny's first season, and that was totally unfair to compare it to Penny's first season. They were talking about winning multiple national championships. They had the number one recruiting class, James Wyatt, like all of that, right? So there was the coming in. You knew he was coming in.
Yes.
He wasn't there for the first season, but we knew what was coming.
Yeah.
14,144. So Penny has gone from 14,144 to 4,229. And Memphis football has gone from 22,500 to 10,023. Now, I almost didn't want to talk about this because it's fundamentally is people don't like hearing bad news. People like hear there's one listener I listen to who writes us all the time, who listens on delay. He works at night and says, I don't. And I get that. I don't want to hear bad things about the Bills. I just don't. I don't want it. But you tell me this, and maybe it's fine. Maybe it's just reality. Is it? I'm going to give you reasons for this. Okay, the reasons for this are as follows. I actually don't think any of it's crime, or very little of it's crime. Right? I think it's like that's what we talk about with the Grizzlies. Here's what I think it is. It's COVID first.
Yes.
That is the big difference between what happened was there. It was just a different time in terms of going to events. COVID happened, and we have not recovered. Now, University of Tennessee's recovered. You know, if you're winning at the level, if you're beating Alabama, you know what I mean? For the first, like, if you're winning in baseball and you're winning in basketball and you're winning in football and – I mean, I gather they're jacking up, like, box prices have doubled in the past 4 years.
Get ready.
You can, if you're crushing it, maybe you can surmount that. But a few things have happened. One is COVID has happened, right? And I think that's the biggest one. Because I can talk about how I don't think Ryan promotes his football program, and I don't. But same thing's happened to basketball.
Yep.
So I can't really, you know, whatever. If Penny is this electric personality, this icon and all that, and Ryan is hiding behind a rock. But either way, the tickets have done the same with each one, so yes. I can't blame one and not the other.
Correct. You can't say promotion.
Can't say one and not the other. Correct. Yeah, right. I don't think that's it. So I think it's COVID. And then, honestly, I think both programs are in a pretty good place. So then you have the portal. I think the portal's hurt, the portal and that.
Yes,
but again, does it hurt Tennessee? Whatever, like does it hurt Ole Miss? Like the portal seemed to a lot of players in the portal for Memphis for Ole Miss football last year. People seem like going to games, but so the portal is another one. And then I think, just broadly speaking, I think both programs are in a good place, but I don't think there's great excitement because of the schedule for both.
Yep,
because of the schedule, and then because of. They're both in a pretty good place. But I don't think there's a rush of excitement for either program right now, right? So I think both programs are at a medium ebb, in terms of the level of excitement. Honestly, maybe more for Memphis football than Memphis basketball. Memphis football, you can look at this and say, well, I don't know. Like, maybe Tulane and South Florida right now look like favorites. And teams, if you had to pick a team right now from to go to the playoff
Tulane.
From outside, it would, you'd pick Tulane. Yes. You wouldn't pick Memphis.
But I would pick Memphis next.
But Memphis gets them home.
Yep. And I'd pick Memphis next. I think
there should be some excitement in Memphis football and Memphis basketball. And Memphis basketball is coming off of a Memphis basketball is coming off of a great season.
No, there's something to your point about both programs are solid.
But neither is electric and neither has games that you'd just circle.
Correct.
I mean, now we're getting to the point with Memphis football. You can circle Tulane, you can circle South Florida. There are games to circle.
I would like to add to the pie chart, because I agree with what you laid out. I would also add to the pie chart the psychological impact of conference expansion alignment, however you want to say it. Like the fact that, like, yet again, here you are, you've been left out, and just you're in a league.
I think the reality of what you feel like is possible at Memphis, and that contributes to the there's not a lot of excitement about the programs right now because it's all within this greater universe of, my God, we're being left. It's good.
Yes.
We don't think we can compete for national championships in basketball anymore. We don't really. You know, now we're just trying to make the tournament, damn tournament, you know.
And then I just think it's always going to be an economic question.
Now, I'll also say this. Who cares? I mean, it's not who cares. It's important to the university. Like, you can say that 25,000 at the last football game was disappointing, and I think it was disappointing. But you know what? Those 25,000 people had a good time. And so it's what I've always said when people talk about get rid of Memphis football. They don't anymore. That is not something you hear anymore, and that's a good thing. But even then, I said it, I'm like, the people who go have a good time. And so if there's 25 or 27 or 32, whatever, people can do whatever they want with their time. It does matter in the grand scheme for two reasons. One is it's money coming in. And two is you're trying to put on a show. You're trying to, you still are. If you're still striving to get into a power conference, you're still trying to put on a show. And it's easier when you got 22,000 season tickets as you had in 2017 in football. And when you had 14,000 season tickets in basketball, as you did when Penny first arrived.
So I agree with your premise that, like, take, for instance, back when there was, you know, in the peak of the Cal era, when it's like, get rid of football.
Right.
Football was not taking away Memphis's chance to compete in basketball. Like, it simply was not true. So I'm with you. I do think fundamentally now programs, like, if you're Nate Oates right now, and you're hearing all the biggest complaint from Alabama fans is we don't have the money to spend, like, to be at the top level.
Right.
If you're Nate Oates, are you a little worried because
that they're going to start taking your money
correct.
For football? Interesting.
Because I do think now programs are going to have to make choices of which sports do we want to compete in.
By the way, it's funny we talk about this because in 2015, Memphis football averaged 43,802 attendance. That was the average in 2015.
Yeah.
Average 43,000. You know, another time they averaged more than 40,000. We talk about the Cal area, whatever. During the Cal era, it was also the it was also the D'Angelo era.
The 04 season,
and
or maybe
two of those
three.
Seasons, they averaged more than 40,000. More than 40,000. You'd kill for that now.
Yeah.
But, oh, you couldn't do it now.
But I mean, also, like, think about enough. In 03, you have an Ole Miss game. You had Louisville game.
Now, that goes to the point I'm saying.
Like,
the schedule.
Yes.
You have games that circle. Games that would draw you there.
Well, and also, I think there's a generational question that's going on. Because that's...
You talked about that yesterday, too. Like the people go. We talked about the people, the 28-year-olds and 35-year-olds and 38-year-olds go in the same way that the people who...
It's like everyone will, like, okay, I'll go to a game. But I'm not paying season tickets, and
I'm not blaming anyone
I'm not
for
either.
Any of this.
Yeah, this is not like...
I think it's mostly just reality of what has changed, and I think they're doing a good job over there. And but that was the bad news from it. The good news is the stadium's on time and on budget, and maybe that'll...
Well, once they change the schedule.
Yes, well, okay. Right. Now, it's going to be...
Since Ed took over the project, it is on schedule.
It seems like, yeah. Yeah. All right. We're going to take a break. Come back. We'll talk about the NFL and more. We got Chris Harrington straight up at 10 o'clock, right over night trivia after that. Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.
DC sports fans start their day with 106.7 The Fan's Sports Junkies.
Let Jaden cook.
With Commanders talk.
They were 60 minutes away from the Super Bowl last year, and they're better this year.
And a lot of fun.
You're acting like I haven't been embarrassed in my life before. Right.
Every morning from 6 to 10.
I thought I handled myself with incredible maturity.
If you missed it live, listen to 106.7 The Fan's Sports Junkies on Apple Podcasts, Spotify.
They're listening to everything you do.
Or wherever you get your podcasts.
So when Claire was looking for a bank, I said, oh, go to Leaders. And she did. She walked into the Leaders branch in Bartlett. There's one in Arlington as well. You don't have to do that. You just download the app. But she's one of these people who likes to, you know, look someone in the eye, all of that. And she's been absolutely thrilled. She's got her son's got accounts at Leaders as well. And so whether you're looking for a mortgage, whether you're looking for a car loan, if you're just a little bit fed up with your own financial institution, I recommend Leaders, as I've said a million times at this point, because it's a credit union, they don't have stockholders they have to please, or all the money goes right back into better rates, better service, better technology. Our experience has been really terrific, honestly. And so if you're thinking about, you know, and needing a new financial institution, check them out. Leaders Credit Union. It's leaderscu.com/ESPN. Let's play Believe It or Not. Cowboys, Eagles tonight. You know what's happened, Jeffy? The Cowboys have become underrated. They've been so beaten up during this offseason, so ridiculed for the Micah Parsons trade. People forget that with Dak healthy, they have fundamentally always been a playoff team, or mostly been a playoff team. What was the stat I had here? Last 3 years that Dak has been healthy, that he started more than half of their games, they've won at a 7-0-6 clip, 36-15. And so, they got CeeDee Lamb and George Pickens.
Yeah, but I don't know. I do tend to say I'll believe this, but then when you look and you see tonight, we have a Thursday night game and they're 8.5-point underdogs. Like, that's this mark of, like, the Giants would be like 8.5-point dogs.
Isn't that some of that?
Some of that's market.
Respect for the Eagles, too.
And historically, this is a game where the favorite, the banner night, the favorite has like an unbelievable
record.
What
would the Eagles, if this were in Dallas midseason, what would the Eagles be favored by? 4.5?
Flip it for home. Yeah, probably. Somewhere around 3.5, 4, something like that.
I just don't think they're going to be bad. Well, one of the interesting things is that the...
Well, I mean, dating back, like, we're like on 21 straight years of whoever won the East does not repeat.
Yeah, 21 years in a row. Yes, they will repeat.
Now, it does feel like this year is different.
It feels like this is the, come on, man, this is the year. This is the year they're going to repeat. In the Unsportsmanlike, the show that precedes ours, they were talking about who's on the no-excuse team for this, the all-no-excuse team for this season, either players or teams or whatever else, right? And one of the things that strikes me is, in some ways, it's better to be Dak than Lamar, or it's better to be Dak than Josh. It's not really, like, whatever, but...
Well,
but
because, I can think of about 60 million reasons it is.
No, well, he gets paid more, yeah. Yes. But apart from that, because that team is expected to be mediocre, there is no pressure on Dak.
Well, there's always pressure to be the Dallas Cowboys.
There's always pressure.
And then on top of that...
But, I mean, no one's looking at... And who's on the no-excuse team was Lamar.
Yeah.
Because his team is awesome, and it's time for him to carry...
Well, it's like the if not now when.
And it's instead... Yeah, it's if not now when. Instead, with Dak, it's like, yeah, what do you expect? They're going to be... Maybe they'll win 9 games.
All right, so I'm trying to see...
They actually... I mean, they're going to lose tonight, aren't they? But then they got the chance in the Bears. Before they play the Packers, before
you play the
Micah homecoming,
the Cowboys beat the Giants.
Yeah, so the Cowboys will beat the Giants. Cowboys will beat the Bears, and maybe, and then you've got the Micah homecoming game. Yeah, 2-1. That's not. I actually think. I mean, they aren't the freaking New Orleans Saints.
No, you know? I do agree with you. But there's also this idea of what if they got really old really fast?
Okay, let me put it this way. Here's another way to put it. Of the rookie head coaches, Brian Schottenheimer will have the most wins.
So
I'll give you,
you're not saying new coaches. You're saying the rookies.
The rookie, the okay. brand new. So Ben Johnson.
Okay.
And the Liam Cohen, Aaron Glenn, and Kellen Moore, and Brian Schottenheimer.
All right. Hold
you
on.
Tell me who's
I was trying to do it in my head. So we have Ben Johnson.
You got Ben Johnson and the Bears. I think most people would pick Ben Johnson to have the most wins of this group. Then you got Liam Cohen and the Jags. You Schottenheimer and the Cowboys. Aaron Glenn and the Jets. It's not going to be Aaron Glenn and
right,
the Jets.
Right. It's not going to be Kellen and Aaron.
It's not going to be Kellen and Aaron. So it's one of the other three.
I would pick Liam.
I think I would pick Liam Cohen.
The division.
Why wouldn't you pick Ben Johnson?
Because of the division.
Oh, because of the division. Like, I think it's Liam Cohen.
That's who I would go with. Now, it's also entirely possible, like, maybe Trevor is exactly what he's proven so far. Like, what if he's just not that good? Like, what if we're just always waiting on Trevor
if
to be good?
If he is just not that good, it's possible he's just not very good. That what was great about Trevor was...
Maybe those receivers that are all...
Receivers, and he's big and strong and tall.
And he threw it outside.
And he's got a big arm.
Like, yeah, and they played in a crap league.
And I think it's possible he's not very good. I mean, he's not... Yeah, that he's just...
We're talking at this level.
Yes.
Like, of the people on the planet, he is incredible at playing quarterback.
Yes.
But at this level, what if he's not?
Yeah. I think that's right. Who would you, by the way, put on your all-no-excuse team?
I think Lamar definitely has to be up
would
there.
Would Caleb Williams be on it? That was the argument. Is he on it, or does he still have excuses? Well, now he's got the coach he wants. He's got an offensive line rebuilt. He's got weapons.
I think, doesn't the question mean, what is the result that says no excuses? Because...
I just mean no. You have no excuse not for him. It would be no excuse for not being excellent this year, not looking like, you know.
But like, does that mean he needs to be the MVP?
No. No, I think the no excuse is different for all kinds of players.
Correct.
But for Trevor, if Trevor had just a very good year where he stayed healthy and made Pro Bowl alternate or something, that would be fine for him. No excuse not to do that.
I think Trevor's on the no
for
excuse.
For Lamar, here. It's no excuse not to get to the Super Bowl.
And are we also saying no excuse? It feels like it's only coaches and quarterbacks, which may be unfair, but that's why they get paid.
I think you're right.
Like, is this a no excuse year for Derrick Henry?
Is literally everyone else? Here's the excuse. I'm a linebacker, man.
Yeah.
The excuse is
like, what do you want me to do? Like,
I'm a linebacker.
We'd got no penetration.
Here you go. Like, I'll just make it. Yeah, Bills are my. You can Keon Coleman. No excuse. No excuse.
Okay, that's a good one.
Not to be a factor. You've got a MVP quarterback.
Yep.
It's your second year. You're being counted on to be a major weapon. There is no excuse for you not to be a weapon. If it's not, it's because you're not good.
Okay, you talked me into a receiver.
And there's probably others.
Right.
I'm more intimately familiar with that team than others. Okay. Nick Saban could not fix this Alabama team.
God, this is such a hard question because this is what I was calling people about yesterday. Because I think Alabama is either one of two things. Because you have this segment of people like AJ McCarron that are adamant. They don't have the money to compete with the highest level rosters. Okay? My eyes tell me that's possible. But then you have...
It's funny, though. Like, was anyone saying that 2 weeks ago? 2 weeks ago, everyone was saying this roster's awesome.
I'm with you. So now we fundamentally have this other group that go, no. When people would say that, this team, talent-wise, the recruiting classes show it, the transfer classes show it, this team has the talent. So to me, it's like, we need to establish who's right first. Because if the second people are right, then yes, it's clearly a coaching problem because they're not playing hard and they're not playing to their level. If the other people are right, I think it's possible Florida State might have had a better funded roster. Like, I think Florida State might also be trying to finance it on a credit card, but it's possible.
Yeah. How about a middle ground? How about, of course, Nick Saban, and we're not talking about coming today, although Paul Finebaum said he should unretire and come back and fix this team. It's very clear they would not have had the pathetic performance that they did against Florida State with Nick Saban as head coach. Like one of the things we know about Nick Saban as head coach is he went, I think it was 100 games in a row without losing, you know, to a underdog or something.
It was like an unranked team, a double digit underdog or something like that.
And they didn't have duds. Like they did his first season they had duds, but then after that they really didn't have duds.
He was cleaning house. Now I also can't divorce myself from this. Especially once it turned out there were rumors that part of the retirement was because his wife had health problems. That is true. That's been proven to not be true. I cannot divorce myself from the fact that I still believe if he thought the Alabama job was the Alabama job that he had had, he would not.
So here's my middle ground. Here's my middle ground. Of course, Nick Saban would make this a better team. Of course he would.
They would have played much harder.
They would not be 5-5 in their last 10 games, with Nick Saban. But how about this? That not only is the Alabama job not what the Alabama job was that he had once upon a time, but no job is. That to stand astride college football in the way that Nick Saban did is now impossible. What you can do is you can be a top 15 team every year, and then you can gather yourself. I think Stuart Mandel was writing this. And you see the year that is your opportunity from Michigan when they won the national championship, Ohio State last year when Penn State feels like that team this year. Like,
yep,
this is the year we're going to do it. And you can jump. LSU may be there, with Nussmeier coming back.
To me, this is the LSU example.
Yeah.
This is what LSU's historically always been.
We can be top 15 or top 10 every year, and then we can have the year
load up.
When we load up and it is us.
That is historically what LSU does.
But that is it now for everybody. Because of the turnover, it's impossible. And because everyone is a free agent every year, and everyone's paying $40 million or whatever else, it's impossible to stand astride. It's not that the Alabama job isn't what it once was. It's that no job is what it once was. Honestly, the closest thing to it right now might be Ohio State.
So what I think is different is the top of the sport has changed. I think the SEC schools that we're talking about, that's true. But I still think it's obvious to me, Ohio State's at a different level. Texas is at a different level. Michigan is operating at a different level.
If they're all at a different level, then none of them are standing astride the sport. You know what I mean? Then none of them are at the Alabama level.
Okay, but the other problem with Michigan is Michigan had to deal with Harbaugh leaving, so you have a coaching transition. And then on top of that, I don't think these financial penalties that Michigan got that made everyone so mad, I think these are significant penalties. Now, I think it's going to matter in terms of what they can do from a roster perspective. But I think what's happened is in the SEC, the top of the sport has come closer to the mid-pack than it has been from separating itself. But I don't think the rest of the sport is the case.
But then also, and within the SEC, there's...
And then on top of the...
How many now? Is there a separation between Alabama, LSU, Georgia, Texas? Aren't they all in that same pot, basically? Basically?
So Texas spends more.
Yeah, but...
I mean, my thing is, we're also...
You would not call them in a different tier of program from the others.
Correct. But that's also, I think, a problem that the SEC has, is that I think the two schools that they actually have in their portfolio that can compete at the highest level from the resource perspective is Texas and Texas A&M, and those are historically the programs in the country that do the least with the most.
John Mateer is now your Heisman favorite.
DC sports fans start their day with 106.7 The Fan's Sports Junkies.
Let Jaden cook.
With Commanders Talk.
They were 60 minutes away from the Super Bowl last year, and they're better this year.
And a lot of fun.
You're acting like I haven't been embarrassed in my life before. Right.
Every morning from 6 to 10.
I thought I handled myself with incredible maturity.
If you missed it live, listen to 106.7 The Fan's Sports Junkies on Apple Podcasts, Spotify.
They're listening to everything you do.
Or wherever you get your podcasts.
Not mine, baby. I don't have the Mateer gene.
You don't?
Uh-uh.
Nussmeier?
Nussmeier, Saturday was the best game I've ever seen him play. And Saturday was the first time I was skeptical of him. Saturday was the first time I was like, this guy might have taken a step. Let me read you a couple of numbers here real quick from our boy John Mateer. Let's see.
It is a fascinating game. You got to say Oklahoma, Michigan. Fascinating. Right.
Tell me what these numbers mean, Jeff. I know you hate numbers. 96, 107, 132, 130, 105, 89, 77, 50, 92, 36, 95.
You tell me.
Those are the SP Plus defensive rankings of the teams that John Mateer has played as a starting quarterback.
He's played nobody.
Nobody.
Well, what's the line this weekend?
It's 6. Now, that's what's spooking me. Like, I'm like, why is Michigan this big of an underdog? Like, and I get it. Michigan's got a quarterback that's going to go make his second start, but that wasn't the question.
He looked good, by the way.
He did.
Against no,
but he's also going to be going up against a guy that's a good defensive coordinator and making his first road start. I do not think Mateer's my...
Interesting.
I don't think they upgraded.
All right. You have stayed at the Peabody.
I have stayed at the Peabody, but it's been many, many years.
And I bring it up because you realize today is the 100th anniversary. Did you know that?
I did not know that.
Yeah, no. Can't let the show go by without saying that it is the... So the Peabody...
Did I miss that in the early word?
It opened at 18... No, it wasn't in the early word, I don't
think. Okay, then I don't feel
bad. It opened in 1869 at the corner of Main and Monroe. Okay, that was 1869. But in 1925, 100 years ago, it moved to 149 Union Avenue. So it has been at the current location for 100 years. They are having in the grand lobby today at 4:30 to 6. There is, of course, Duck March.
Of course.
Got to have the Duck March. Introduction and celebration accompanied by cocktails, hors d'oeuvres, and entertainment by the Memphis Symphony Orchestra. Today, the Peabody is 100. I have stayed there twice. Once. I think I was thinking when I came here, when I was the Marlins beat writer and the Marlins played an exhibition game here.
Yep.
I went to the Peabody because there was a press conference, but I didn't stay there. I stayed at some hotel off of 240.
Yep.
But then there was one night. Oh, I know what it was. There was some advertising award ceremony that whatever, and I stayed downtown. I would like to stay again at the Peabody. And I was there yesterday. That's where this event that I was emceeing was yesterday. And I was sitting there with Jimmy having a little chat before the event. And he looked around the Peabody and said, this is still a great lobby. It's an unbelievably
totally
great lobby. In fact, one of the great... Is there a better place to have a drink if you're just visiting Memphis than to sit in the Peabody lobby and to get a drink?
I mean, so some people would say go up to a spot with a view.
With a view.
But I...
You go to the top of the pyramid. You go to the Bass Pro.
Yeah, and then I think whatever... The Memphian Hotel, or there's one of them downtown that used to be like the Madison. What is that now? That has a good view. But I agree.
That one have a great view?
Aaliyah and I went, I want to say like March or something, and... I can't remember.
It's
we just went and see the ducks and we're
lobby.
Like, this is great.
There's freaking ducks quacking and they swim in the fountain. Yeah. The place is absolutely ornate and beautiful. There's the piano playing, the automatic, whatever you call the, it's fabulous. So
well, there's a ghost playing the piano.
Happy birthday. Yeah, there's a ghost playing the piano. So happy birthday to the Peabody. All right, we got Chris Harrington next. Then we got Right of the Right Trivia. What's the prize today, Jeffrey?
Jeff, we got a 4-pack of tickets to the Mid-South Fair to give away today during trivia.
All right, before then, I will tell you, if you are selling your house, Josh Heisa and the team at Keller Williams Realty, folks to get in touch with. And it is a tricky time right now in the market. Anything you read about it, we'll tell you that. And it's a reason to consider, no, not those robocalls that call you, not the texts and the emails from people who don't live here who say, are you interested in selling your house? No, No. But an instant cash offer can make some sense, particularly in this market, because you don't have to, you know, spend $10,000 fixing up your home. You don't have showings. You don't have to have the suspense of all of that. You just call Josh Hysaw or get in contact with the team, Josh and his team. Josh will come out to your house. He'll tell you what it's worth, and he will give you an offer for the full market value of your home. And you got 4 months to turn over the keys. It's a simple way to do it. It's an easy way to do it. And you're not going to get lowballed the way you would by those out-of-towners who are besieging you probably with offers to sell your home. It's joshhasthebuyers.com. That's how you get in touch. joshhasthebuyers.com. When we come back, Chris Harrington joins the show. 92.9 FM ESPN.
DC sports fans start their day with 106.7 The Fan's Sports Junkies.
Let Jaden cook.
With Commanders talk.
They were 60 minutes away from the Super Bowl last year, and they're better this year.
And a lot of fun.
You're acting like I haven't been embarrassed in my life before. Right.
Every morning from 6 to 10.
I thought I handled myself with incredible maturity.
If you missed it live, listen to 106.7 The Fan's Sports Junkies on Apple Podcasts, Spotify.
They're listening to everything you do.
Or wherever you get your podcasts.